Good morning. Welcome to St. Luke's. Pastor has a planned trip to go see her husband. That's why I'm helping out this morning. We have a few announcements. Need to let everybody know that the offering envelopes are in your mailboxes if you order them. There is a sign-up sheet for youth night dinners in the fellowship hall here. Today, we have a council meeting at 2 p.m. Would like to let everybody know that it is an open meeting, so if you would like to come and see what happens at the council meeting, or if you're interested in becoming a part of that group, please come this afternoon. It's at 2 o'clock. Monday, at the food pantry, Kathleen and Ron McPhee are the volunteers there. Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. is Bible study. And Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. is choir practice. Bell choir practice. And need to point out that the bells are something that we want to take good care of, keep them maintained. So if you would like to help donate to that, there's a bells bucket in the back and a bells bucket up front here. And today, after church, the fellowship will be deviled eggs and a guest speaker, Freya Tobison. We'll talk about her project, Chickens and Eggs. Let's begin. The Holy Spirit calls us together as people of God. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery to freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of a new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Our gathering song will be number 283, O Come All Ye Faithful. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray. O God, our Father, at the baptism of Jesus, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized into Christ faithful to their calling to be your daughters and sons, and empower us all with your Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Speaks to us in scripture, reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The word of the Lord. And let's read Psalm 29 responsibly. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of the Lord thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes. The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees wither and strips the forest bare. And the temple of the Lord, all are crying, glory! The Lord gives strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace. The second reading is from the 10th chapter of Acts. Peter began to speak to Cornelius and his household. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, everyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of God.
The gospel for today is from Matthew 3, 13 through 17. When Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, John would have prevented him from saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from the heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." You may be seated. Christmas has come and gone, officially ending last Friday with the Feast of Epiphany. On Epiphany, we recall how wise men came from the east following a star to worship Jesus as a newborn king, bringing him precious gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts that symbolize his divinity, that symbolize his kingship, that anticipated his suffering and death. Last week, we heard after the wise men learned in a dream not to tell Herod about the child, Herod flew into a rage and sought to kill his new threat to his power and authority, causing Joseph to take the child and Mary and flee to Egypt. After Herod's death, they made their home in Nazareth. Fast forward almost 30 years. Matthew's gospel gives us no information about what Jesus has been doing since his family settled in Nazareth. It is likely that he lived a fairly normal life, studying scripture, learning a trade, celebrating the holy days, growing in wisdom and understanding. John the Baptist has appeared in the wilderness saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." The Greek word for repent, metanoia, the root of our word metamorphosis, means to change one's thinking. Sorry, one's way of thinking. People have been coming to John from Jerusalem and all Judea to confess their sins and be baptized in the Jordan River. John tells them that he is baptizing them with water for repentance, but one is to come after him who is more powerful than he, one whose sandals he is not worthy to carry, one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus comes to John to be baptized. John recognizes that who he is and asserts that Jesus should be baptizing him, not the other way around. John would have prevented Jesus' baptism, but Jesus says, Let it be so for now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." This may seem strange in our ears. Why should Jesus be baptized when he is without sin? What possible need would he have to repent? There are two possible answers to this question of why Jesus came to the Jordan River to be baptized. The first is that Jesus is being baptized in solidarity with sinners. He, the sinless one, is humbling himself, just as he humbled himself to be born of Mary, taking on human flesh in order to live among us. We noted last week that Matthew begins his gospel with a genealogy of Jesus that has the purpose of showing Jesus' dual identity as being both fully human and fully divine. In requesting baptism, he is showing that he is acting as the obedient son who carries out the will of his father. That is what it means when he talks about righteousness which involves being in a right relationship with God. The second answer is that this baptism marks a change as Jesus leaves his ordinary life and says yes to the call to be Messiah. His baptism is an outward sign that he is beginning his ministry of preaching, teaching, healing, and otherwise living out his calling to draw people deep into a deeper relationship with the one who sent him. When Jesus came out of the baptismal waters, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and alight on him. And he heard a voice saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Why is God well pleased? Jesus appears to have done nothing remarkable so far in his life. Matthew's gospel seems to indicate that he has worked no miracles, preached no sermons, freed no one from demons, healed no illnesses. Before Jesus does anything to fill his messianic call, he is told that he is loved unconditionally and that he is chosen and beloved. This is who he is, God's beloved child. Jesus does not need to do anything to earn the title of beloved. Instead, God's love is the motivating and sustaining element that allows Jesus to engage in his ministry of bringing God's message to the world. "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased." These words echo the text from Isaiah in our first reading. "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." Jesus proclaims God's message of peace and justice to those who are mired in sin, those who are suffering, those who are oppressed, those who are marginalized. He proclaims that the message to those who will love and follow him, and to those who will plot against him and put him to death. In our second reading from the book of Acts, we hear Peter testify concerning Jesus' mission and God's message. "You know the message of God sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism. And John announced how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. They put him to death and hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sin through his name. In the five verses of today's lesson from Matthew's Gospel, we see the power of God's love and God's very breath poured out upon Jesus, providing encouragement and strength for the task that lies ahead. Jesus hears that heavenly voice telling him that he is God's own beloved one. He has been born into a harsh world, a world hostile to his identity, message, and mission. He is God's beloved one, but that does not spare him from the trials that are a part of his human existence. But being grounded in this identity as beloved allows him to endure those hardships as he spreads God's message of love, peace, justice, and mercy to the world. On this day, it is fitting not only to remember Jesus' baptism, but to recall what baptism means for us. It does not matter whether we were baptized as infants, children, or adults. or whether it was by sprinkling or immersion, the form does not matter. What matters is that the waters of baptism were accompanied by words that give it power, the promise of God connected to the physical element of water. Last week, we talked about how our relationship with God is covenantal rather than contractual. When one party breaks a contract, the other is released from obligation to perform. However, a covenant is an ongoing, even when one side fails to perform as promised. At baptism, either you or someone whose faith caused them to bring you to the baptismal waters promised that you would engage in a life of covenantal faithfulness and total obedience to God, rejecting the ways of sin that forces and the forces that defy God, and proclaiming Christ through word and deed. But more important than those promises are promises that God made to you. Through the waters of baptism, we were claimed by God and given a new name, beloved child of God. In the baptismal waters, we died with Christ so that we may be raised with Christ to live a new life. We were called, chosen, saved, born again, marked as God's own forever. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we were clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness and claimed as God's children, making us heirs of God's promise and, like Jesus, servants of all. You are deeply and truly loved by God, valued and cherished, not because of anything you have done, but because God calls you to God's own beloved one. We live in a world where we're often bombarded by messages telling us that we are not loved or lovable, that we are not deserving of the respect we desire, that we are not enough just as we are. Several years ago, we've heard a presentation by Julia K. Dismore. She's a freelance writer, storyteller, singer-songwriter, who grew up in an impoverished, abusive household, and as the adult found herself living below the poverty line, she wrote a book about living in poverty entitled, My Name is Child of God. Not those people. It is heart-wrenching to read. In her preface of the book, she wrote, "The world has done its job. It broke my heart thoroughly. It took away everything I ever held precious and did so in a manner similar to the cruelest of a joke plane. The world uses whatever we love the most, be it our children, grandchildren, careers, avocations, homes, possessions, faith, communities, or health, to do what it does best, bring us to our knees. The world will inflict pain, breed discouragement, cause loss of hope and faith, and it seems to target some more than others for death and destruction. The world is a big bully and a maker of hardened hearts. If it can figure out how to stop us from love, it will. I know that the world worked overtime trying to steal my joy, my praise, my peace, and my heart. So I got beat up pretty bad. But that's only part of the story here. Learning to live in this world and not of it is what I hope will shine through my poems, songs, essays, prayers, and little vignettes. This collection of autobiographical shorts is my answer to the social unfairness and its result, needless suffering. The book includes my poem, My Name Is Not Those People, where she rejects various names the world has tried to give her an adequate problem and case to be managed. Lazy, dependent, welfare mother, ignorant, dumb, or uneducated, and lay down and die quickly. It concludes with the poem I call myself, where she claims other, more positive names such as storyteller, artist, social change maker, daughter, mother, grandmother, ally, mentor, sinner, redeemed, and a precious unfolding of creation. It ends this way. Most important of all, I call myself child of God. When I can know myself as such, a promise is born. It is by answering to this name that I can call you child of God too. We live in a harsh world, a world hostile to our identity and mission. God calls us beloved, but that does not spare us from the trials that are part of our human existence. But being grounded in identity as beloved can help us endure those hardships as we spread God's message of love, peace, justice, and mercy to the world. To know that you are truly and deeply loved by God, to know that you are valued and cherished, such knowledge can free you from the lies of the world tries to tell you. Your value, your worth, has been given to you by God, feeling that kind of love should strengthen us to live out our baptismal calling, to follow the path of Christ, seeking to establish justice in the world and loving others with the same love we have received. So hear these words once again. You are a beloved child of God. Remember on this day and every day the promises God has made to you at your baptism and the identity you should cherish of all. Beloved child of God. Please stand if you're able, and we will sing hymn 715, Christ Be Our Light. together with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Calling God, you speak with power to your church. Open our hearts and minds to the new things you are declaring. Strengthen bishops, pastors, deacons, lay leaders, and teachers of faith. Equip the baptized for your reconciling and redeeming work. Merciful God, renewing God, you provided the waters of the earth, and in Jesus' baptism, you reveal the waters of life. Cleanse and protect oceans, rivers, and watersheds. Bring relief to parched lands and to communities without access to safe water. Merciful God. Righteous God, you never weary of establishing justice. Increase cooperation and constructive dialogue between nations. Guide local, national, and international authorities to govern with fairness, vision, and integrity. We pray for those in the military service, for peacekeepers, and for our enemies. Merciful God. Abiding God, your mercy is steadfast. Give sanctuary to people who are fleeing from oppression, war, poverty, and famine. Sustain healthcare workers, caregivers, first responders, counselors, and all who help and heal. Comfort those who are grieving and experiencing crisis. For those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our heart. Merciful God. Blessing God, in Christ you gathered the beloved community. Kindle those gifts of your Spirit in your people. Accompany the newly baptized, those recently ordained, and any beginning a new ministry. Inspire synodical leaders and congregational councils to serve with imagination and wisdom. Merciful God. Promising God, your faithfulness endures throughout all generations. We give thanks for those who have died in Christ, trusting that we will be united with them and all the saints in Christ's resurrection life. Merciful God. We bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you always. Please take the time to wish peace. We want to thank everybody for sending your offering to the church. We're giving online banking. We also have the offering. offering plates up front here and in the back if you brought something that you would like to put in. Let us pray. Good and loving God, we rejoice in the birth of Jesus, who came among the poor to bring the riches of your grace. As you have blessed us with your gifts, let them be blessed for ours. With trees of the field, all that are in heavens, we shout for joy at the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. God blesses us and sends us in mission into the world. The God of steadfast and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Jesus, with Christ Jesus. Amen. The God of hope fill you with all joy, peace and believing so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The God of all grace bless you now and forever. Amen. Our next hymn is Hark the Herald Angels Sing, a number 270.